Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, podcast audience. This is Kenny Hodge, producer, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. Just getting up this morning to a little livelier music. That's just how my day is starting off. I am honored and blessed to have with me Mr. Anthony Norris, senior consultant for Blue Collar Consultants. As always, every Thursday morning, Mr. Norris joins me on a podcast as we make valid attempts at empowering and educating employees, federal employees, on injuries and how they can be, how they receive their benefits. Good morning, Mr. Norris, and how are you doing today?
Top of the morning to you, young man. Once again, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this podcast. I think this is very powerful, what you're doing, and I'm happy to be a guest each week. So good morning, everyone, and hopefully we can give you some information that's empowering today.
Okay. And you know, and it's funny because I guess people are at work but they listen to the podcast later, and I get a lot of calls. And again, a lot of my podcast audience is very appreciative to you for what you do. And one of the things that we try to do on this podcast is, again, my main concern is the U.S. Postal Service, which I am a mail handler and a branch president for the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. And I still get phone calls about, I got hurt at work. My supervisor won't take my claim. They threaten to write me up. And this podcast is designed to let you know that, again, if you were injured at work, there is a process. There is a federal process that the post office has no authority to override. And this morning, last week we did a podcast on CA1, and we had really bad audio. So anybody who knows President Hodge knows I'm big on repetition. I've come to understand working in the post office that sometimes, and it's not a bad thing, but it's a thing, we need to hear the same information over and over again. It helps tattoo it. I mean, in my mind. So this morning we're going to go over the process again of what happens with the CA1. So with that being said, Mr. Norris, you can go ahead and walk us through it.
Okay. Once again, good morning, podcast family. Traumatic injuries are typically an injury that's been sustained in one work day, one work shift. Something hit you or you hit something. That qualifies as a CA1, traumatic injury. The first thing you should do is always notify your agency, notify your supervisor that you've had some type of an injury. Okay, that way it's documented. Next, you have up to 30 days to file this claim. Let me say that again. You have up to 30 days to file this claim. Reason being, because traumatic injuries are, there's different levels of it. You know, you may have been in a car accident and be unconscious. Or you may be in the warehouse and something falls on your foot and breaks your foot or hurts it really bad. So given the different levels of extremity, when it comes to traumatic injuries, the Department of Labor, or better yet, the Federal Employees Compensation Act, has allowed you up to 30 days to file a claim because you may not be in your right state of mind at the time of the accident. And the Department of Labor, but yet FICA, recognizes that you don't have to have a bunch of papers shoved in your face saying, here, sign this, because you just had an injury and you're not exactly coherent as to what it is that you're signing. So it's very important that you guys understand you have up to 30 days to file this claim after the injury. Now, naturally, the sooner the better, because we as human beings, as time goes, sometimes our memories can get a little sketchy, okay? But it's a fun fact to know that, okay? Now, once you file that claim, the CA-1 is 4 pages long, and you get that from your supervisor. And the first sheet or the first page is for your completion. And basically it covers, you know, your name, date of birth, mailing address, you're describing the injury, what happened, so on and so forth. But there's one key box, which is under number 15, where it covers continuation of pay. On a traumatic injury only, you can receive up to 100% of your base salary, no taxes, for the first 45 days of your injury. After that, the Department of Labor kicks in and your benefits come from there. Now, the biggest thing is in box, or better yet, question number 15, it covers continuation of pay. A lot of times people don't check that box, or your agency completes this paperwork and they hand it to you and they don't have that box checked. It's okay if it's not checked and you file it, because you have up to a year to get your continuation of pay, okay? Now, let's talk about the biggest issue I hear all the time.
And hey, Mr. Norris, can I interrupt you one second? Now, I just heard you say for continuation of pay, once you file the CA-1, you have up to a year to get your continuation of pay?
Yeah, if you do not receive continuation of pay, you can basically appeal the fact or let the Department of Labor know that you didn't receive your COP. But if a year goes by and you haven't claimed it, you will lose it.
Now, my understanding, and again, and I say to my audience, my answers, my questions are always 100% directed towards the post office, because that's the agency that I know, that's the agency that I work for. And I've been it has been my understanding that 45 days from the date of injury, if you don't have the box checked, you lose you lose the possibility of getting paid COP. And now you're saying it's a year?
You have up to a year, but let me help you understand the difference with those numbers, 12 months versus a year. What happens is, on a CA-1 only, continuation of pay comes from the agency's budget. And that's why you guys get so much pushback from the agency, because if you put yourself in the agency's shoes, they have to pay you 100% of your base salary. Plus, you may be off from work or in a limited duty status. They have to hire someone else and or double duty someone else to fill your spot while you're hurt. So with the money coming directly out of their pocket, yeah, they're going to have a problem with you being hurt, whether it's legitimate or not. It's almost like a auto reflex, if you will. It's not right, but they do it all the time. Okay. Two, the first 45 days comes out of your agency's budget. After that, all the benefits come from the Department of Labor. Now, the thing about it is, once you are assigned a claim number and you have a claims examiner, you best believe, that's why I tell people, you always use a union steward or have some type of witness involved in this transaction, if you will, because you need to know what your rights are and what the expectations are and where the money's coming from. So there's a lot of misconceptions as to, okay, after 45 days, then all bets are off. That's not the case. You have up to a year to EOP from the agency. Now, the agency, they're going to drag their feet. They're going to give you all this runaround. But lawfully, they have to pay you that money. Now, yes, you're going to have to use your leave and different things like that to kind of help pay your bills and all that stuff while the agency is dragging their feet. That happens all the time. But although they're not paying you at that moment, you still would get your money, because let me tell you guys how the back end of this thing works. Every year, the Department of Labor charges these federal agencies an administrative fee for managing all of these benefits. And that fee is typically somewhere between 10 to 15%. So the agency has to pay the Department of Labor, which is not a federal agency. It is a private agency that's governed by the U.S. government. So it's like an insurance company. And what insurance company do we know want and look to pay a claim? They don't. However, if you follow their rules and do things the way it's supposed to be done, you're going to get everything that you're supposed to get. And it's going to happen in a certain time frame. So that is one of the biggest misconceptions when it comes to what's happening when you file this piece of paper, because they're not going to empower you with this information, because we all know that they're working off your ignorance. What you don't know, you know, at some point you'll probably give up and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'll just go back to work and just work hard. So that's really important that you guys understand it.
I thank you, folks. I thank you for explaining that, because, all too often in the industry in which I work, again, employees are suddenly threatened, and I do mean that, about filing claims. And the Postal Service, if you get injured, one of the first things that they do is they have you fill out an accident form, and they get that CA-1 from you right on the spot. I have never, and I've been in the Postal Service until I started conversing with you and your organization, I've never heard you have 30 days to do a CA-1 in the Postal Service. If you don't fill that CA-1 out that night, and sometimes the supervisors complete the form for you, that's how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
audience, coming into
the knowledge of what you should do, again, education without application is just a waste of time. And right now at the table, you're getting a real good meal. So as you hear this, apply this. I'm sorry, Mr. Anthony, go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is a lot of steps are done through tradition. You know, so if you have people who don't know what all the rights and what the laws are and what the time frames are, they're just going by hearsay, then it's going to continue to go. Who's actually taking the time to find out when things should be done, how things should be done? Typically no one. And then here's the cool part. If you print out a CA-1, because I'm not asking you guys to take my word for it at all. Everything I tell you, it's in writing, and it comes from the exact same agencies that I'm talking about as far as the DOL is concerned and what FICA says. If you go to page 4 of the CA-1, it's going to give you all the information that you need and when things should be done. You know, for example, when you file that CA-1, your agency has 10 days to get that information over to the Department of Labor. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people sign this paperwork, they don't get a copy, and they don't know what's going on. Next thing you know, that paperwork is lost. So I tell everyone, you make sure you read CA-1. Let me back up a second. If you are hurt and you're not in your right frame of mind to sign the paperwork, if it's within 30 days, don't sign it. say, look, I appreciate you getting that paperwork to me, but let me address my medical issue first. Then I'll circle back around to completing that CA1. Okay? Very important. And if you read, and anybody sitting in front of a computer right now, Google CA1. Print the form out for yourself. That way you follow along what it is that I'm sharing with you. Okay? The first page is for you. The second page is for your agency. Their job is to complete it. Now, they have 10 working days to complete page 2. But the most important part for a CA1 and a CA2 is page 3. It is called your receipt page. And you are to get, you are to sign it, your supervisor is to sign it right there on the spot, although they have not completed page 2. But your receipt page is your proof that that paperwork has been filed. Now, again, a lot of people don't know this because a lot of federal workers I've talked to, they never even heard of FECA, which is the Federal Employees Compensation Act of 1916. These are your rights. You have a right to file a claim. And a lot of people, being that they don't know that they have this power, if your agency doesn't do what it's supposed to do, they could get in trouble. And that's in writing. If they are impeding you from filing a claim or impeding you from getting your benefits, the person who's identified could face up to a year in jail and or a $500 fine. It's right there in black and white. So most of this information has been around a long time. It's not coming from Anthony, our blue collar fellow injury consultant. But what I tell people is what I do for a living, it's my job to know these things. You guys have different jobs from clerks to mail carriers, mail handlers, truck drivers. That's what you do for a living. So it's not expected for you to know this information. You may know some of it through your coworkers, but how much due diligence have you done for yourself to verify the information that you're hearing? Well, using someone such as myself, this is what I do. So I need to know these things, and my job is to hold your hand and make sure things are done correctly. So that's what I bring to the table. And when I interview anyone, we sit down and we talk about this because part of my purpose in life is to empower people. It's just I do Fed Comp full time with my empowerment.
I hear what you're saying, Mr. Anthony. And again, as I interview, as I talk to people, because I'll let anybody in the Columbus City Gate, the facility in which I'm the president of, I will refer them to you in a second. And I always make sure that I tell them this, the consultant I'm trying to get you to talk to, he's not postal. Okay. He don't have a dog in this fight. His, with the exception of making sure you understand your rights. So again, he's not union. He's a consultant that his concern is to make sure you know. And then once you know and you've been empowered, now then if you choose to just let it go by the wayside, he and I can sleep well at night, because once I inform you or once we inform you and then you still choose not to do it, well, I feel okay because that's a conscious decision you made having all the facts.
Right.
But if you injured at work, and it's so funny because I talk to people and I see you limping around the building, and you know, my post employees know, I'll ask you, I seen you walking yesterday, you weren't walking like that. What's going on? Oh, I dropped a pallet on my foot, but I don't want to say anything because I hear they fire people for getting hurt. Now, let me start off by saying it is, I hope and I try to motivate you to work safe. But see, that's why we called it an accident, because we didn't plan on it. And when that happens, again, you can think that you're doing the post office a favor. Why you would want to think that is far beyond me, by not reporting. But if you look around at the people in the building in which we work, how many of them don't walk without a limp? How many of them don't have a little giddy up, a little niche in their step? And a lot of that is because you were hurt at work thinking that I don't want to report it because I don't want to lose my job. And now you suffer that long-term injury. Come on, folks. Let's be smarter than that.
Okay. Can I read something to your audience, Kenneth? Right now, I have a CA-1 in front of me. And anyone who does, you can go to the third page, which is the receipt page, right at the very top where it says disability benefits for employees under the Federal Employees Compensation Act. If you go to number one, it says continuation of pay for disability resulting from traumatic job-related injury not to exceed 45 calendar days. To be eligible for continuation of pay, the employee or someone acting on his or her behalf, such as myself, must file form CA-1 within 30 days following the injury. However, to avoid possible interruption of pay, the form should be filed within 2 working days. If it's not filed within 30 days, compensation may be substituted for continuation of pay. So there you have it in black and white. And let me read that one part again where it says the form should be filed within 2 working days. However, if you continue to read, it says if the form is not filed within 30 days. So if you read this language in black and white, as you see, I'm not making this stuff up. Now, the reason why I say it should be filed in 2 days, audience, is because most of the time, you want to get the process going as fast as you possibly can. But if you're not in the state of total coherence, that's why they give you up to 30 days.
So hearing
the information is right there in front of you guys. Go ahead.
So hearing Mr. Norris read that again, as I understand it, and as I give it back to you to the audience, is if you get hurt at work. We have a 1769, which is an accident report form. They want that immediately, and that should be because they have to do an investigation. But I've actually seen supervisors finish or fill out the CA-1 portion for the employees on the day of the injury. And whenever the supervisor fills that report out, they always check no continuation of pay. So, again,
of course.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, not to interrupt, but
okay.
And that's why
just hearing what you
just
heard.
Of pay. Yeah.
Yeah, just hearing what you just heard. Come on, postal employees. Now we do our 1769. We can get medical treatment. And when they push that CA-1 in your face, again, if you can fill it out right in there, by all means, do so. But if for whatever reason the situation don't allow that, we are now going to stop allowing postal management to fill your CA-1 out for you when you have 30 days to put it in. Now, again, it is recommended that it's done within 2 days, but you have up to 30. So if you have that time, again, let's stop letting postal management call themselves helping you by ensuring that you don't get your federal benefits as you are supposed to.
Can I read something else to your audience?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to page 4 where it says supervisor, which is the second paragraph. At the time the form is received, this is directions to the supervisor, complete the receipt of notice of injury and give it to the employee. Soon as it is received, I'll read again, at the time the form is received, complete the receipt of notice of injury and give it to the employee. If you skip down, it says that this should be sent to the OWCP within 10 working days after it was received. So these are instructions to the supervisor, and none of this stuff is hidden from anyone. Again, guys, I'm reading right off of the CA-1 claim is right here in black and white. So you have more power than you realize. And again, like I covered last week, just real quick, let's talk about what is FICA. Where did that come from? Okay, let's rewind life 105 years ago when state workers' comp existed, but there was no workers' comp for federal employees. So legislation is looking at what the states are doing. It's like, man, we need something like that. And back then, it was well known where a lot of lawmakers had, you know, their spouses working in the office with them, their kids working in the office with them. So they want to put something in place that protects them and their family as lawmakers. And we all know the lawmakers, they're going to create the best. They're going to have the best because they're in a position to create the best. So in 1916, they enacted a law called Federal Employees Compensation Act. And for the last 102 years, this law has moved along virtually with no major changes. The two major changes that happened in the last 102 years, guys, was in the early 70s when they gave you the right to choose your own doctor when you get hurt and continuation of pay. Now, my memory excuse me at the moment, I want to say it's 1972 and 1974 when these two additions to FICA was enacted on your behalf for all federal employees. So if there's any changes made to FICA, you best believe it's going to get better for you, not worse. Lawmakers aren't going to take anything away from them. When you look at state workers' comp, that varies from state to state, and depending on what legislation is in office, determines what changes they're going to make. So those guys are a little bit more at risk than what you guys have. You guys have the same protection no matter if you're in Alaska, Ohio, Texas, California. So all of this is put in place because this is not just targeted to hurt you. This is targeted to protect the federal employee. Now, let me say this also, guys. I'm not here to bash the government, the agencies, or any of that. That's not what I do. My job is to help you get a better understanding of what the rules are and how they should be applied and when they should be applied. So I'm not here to fight your agency. I just know most of the time they don't know what I know. And it's in front of them too. And they're not reading it. So if you're not reading it and they're not reading it, then that's when a lot of frustration comes in because nobody knows really what's going on. And the paperwork is right there in their hand. But no one's reading it. So that's what I'm here for. I'm here to empower you and show it to you right here in black and white. And we can do it in a manner that is not confrontational. We're just going to follow the rules. And I guarantee you, when you follow the rules the way it's supposed to be done, you're going to get your benefits.
And I like that part when you put in there, we can do it in a non-confrontational manner. Again, these are your benefits. These are your rights. Our postal management, a lot of times, and I don't say they do it intentionally. I say they do it for a lack of knowledge. But the bottom line is their lack of knowledge costs you valuable federal benefits that you are actually entitled to. So, again, as right. we are being educated, again, let's apply this education. Hey, Mr. Norris, we've got about 30 seconds left. So I'm going to let you have the last 30 seconds to bring this podcast to a close, sir.
Okay, thank you. Once again, it can cost you everything if you don't use my information and apply it properly, or it could really benefit you by just calling me and just talking. Because, again, it doesn't cost you anything. I don't charge you for my services. I explained a couple of weeks ago how this program is funded, you know. So I want to help you guys, but I can't help you if you don't call me. So next week, you know, and the week after, I want to spend some time covering each part of the claims process so you guys know what to do. I don't want you walking around feeling scared about filing the claim because you're worried about what it may look like. You're the one that has to go home and deal with these pains and aches and all of that. You want to deal with that for the rest of your life, or you want to get some help now? It's your call.
Hey, Mr. Norris, I thank you so much, and my audience, thank you so much. Have a great day, sir, and I'll talk to you next Thursday morning.
All right, sounds good. Have a good week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.